Something different here this morning. It's great to be here this morning. Got a lot of people out of town. This week, I tell you, has been a trying week. It's been a challenging week. It's been different. There's been a lot of death in the kingdom everywhere. Just family members who's lost daughters, a brother who lost his father, had an uncle die, and then they just found out that Memphis and Nashville, they lost the campus intern. They were on a campus trip, and he drowned. He was doing cliff diving. And I was like, wow. It's like, he's 21. It's like, he was on an internship. I was like, man, it's just, this week is just, it's like a call for every day I've been getting that people are passing away for various reasons. So it's been challenging. Who was that?
Another sister in Nashville.
I've not heard about another one, but I heard about some more passed away, but just, it's been challenging. This has been challenging for the kingdom that we just had a lot of deaths here lately around the Mid-South and Southeast. And so just got to pray for just the passing of a lot of people. You know, when somebody's young, 21, you know, it's devastating to a parent. You know, and then our very own Harrington, who's here, their daughter who passed away at 23, is just, it's devastating, you know. So there's it's just a lot of grief and things going on in the kingdom. So we just really have to keep our brothers and sisters lifted up in prayer constantly, because there's a lot of people just grieving and mourning during this time. So, but other than that, the week is just, it's been going. It's been a week. It's been a work week. It's been life. And, you know, you got to appreciate that even when you do have life, that you make the most of it. God, you make the most of living. You know, some people, they take living for granted. They really don't value the fact of that, how it is important that the life that you have, that you live it to the full. I watch a lot of documentaries. That's me. People go to Netflix, they binge on other stuff. I find, what's going on in our world? What, you know, who's the one that researched and found people? And I mean, they found people all over. I'm like, where did they find these people at? You know, I thought only people that live was the people in America. You know, anybody outside of us who's really living. But they find people everywhere. And I'm like, you live up there in the cold in the north, and it's freezing then and there. What? And that's how you live, and really? And so it's just amazing, you know. They have these guys called, they're called the ice doctors. And so, you know, the tallest mountain in the world is what? Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. And so, but what it is these ice doctors, before all these people who are like adventurous and they want to go climb Mount Everest, their job is to go route out a path. They've got to trail a path out and make sure it's safe for them to go. And so they go, they do all the dangerous work. And when they come across gorges, they like divide like this, you think, well, how did they get across those things? You know, ladders that we buy from Home Depot that you pull over strings? That's what they make bridges out of to go across these ice cores. I'm like, boy, that's bold. That's amazing. So they go, and they're like, well, we got to cross it. And they take these, they string them little ladders, and they string them across the ice gorge, and they cross to make sure it's safe, and they just doing a path. And I'm thinking, that's an important position. That's a very dangerous, important position. Who would want to do that for a living? But the guys that do it, they get paid to do it. And they say, it's what brings income into their families. And I'm like, man, yeah, but I might just do something else. I'll fish, you know. I mean, get income somewhere else, you know. There's another one that shows out on the, I guess that's somewhere off in, I think, India, Korea. And so what it is, when you want to marry somebody's daughter in their family, you have to go out to sea and you have to catch this fish. It's part of their culture. And so they catch all these little like sardines fish, but they're like on this balancing thing. It's like a boat with like a plywood all built around it. And you have to go out there and you have to fish so many years before you have the honor of marrying somebody's daughter in their tribe. But it's dangerous work, because if you fall in, you're subject not to come back and everything. So I'm just checking out all this stuff like, man, we really have it easy, you know. But all these people have these important positions for various reasons. And you say, why are we talking about these various things that people do in documentary and important positions? Because, you know, we, at one time in our lives, we like to be what? We like to feel important. Mm-hmm. We feel like, I want to be in an important position. I think I can do that position. And sometimes we've been able to get in important positions. We feel like, this really is not that important at all. I really just don't want to be here. But we want to be in important positions, and we think we have our ideas of what that position is going to look like, how glorious it's going to be. But we fail to realize the undertaking of the suffering that may come with that position, or the hard work that comes with that position. And so this is what's going to lead us to the Gospel of Mark, because there's a conversation that two young men named James and John, along with their mother, they decide we're going to approach Jesus with a question. And there we are. Like, I think, hey, love, we mom, you need to come with us. You're going to carry some weight. You mom, you're going to carry some weight on this one. He's not going to turn you down, you know. So we're going to go over in the Gospel of John, and Jesus is doing what Jesus does best. He's there doing his mission, his work that God has called him to do. And we're going to look in Mark 10.
Mark or John?
I'm sorry. I keep saying John. The Gospel of Mark. I'm sorry. Thank you,
okay.
But Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And request. We all have requests in life. Some requests we believe are appropriate. Some requests we believe are, it demands your attention. What's the old saying, you know, an emergency on your part does not constitute one of mine, you know. So, these guys felt like, man, we've been walking with Jesus. This is great. We know that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the kingdom. Things are happening. So I want to position myself to be in the best position when it all goes down. I want to be in a prominent position, an important person when everything goes down, so I can say, hey, look, you want to talk to Jesus, you talk to me. That's just how we feel, you know. I want to be in that position, you know. And so they have this request, and they want to come. And over in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verse 35, it says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Wow. I don't know, you know, growing up, you know, I don't know. Some point, kids that they did, I don't know, you know, 10 now they have started asking, but my age, like 16, I feel like mom and dad, when I ask you something, I need you to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to ask you something. Don't ask any questions. Just make it happen. That's how we feel. Kids these days, they're like 10. They're like, look, talking to you, this is what needs to happen. You just need to get on board so the train can go forward. You know, I think that was very bold of them. That was very bold of them. They said, you know, we got a question to ask you, and we just want you to do what we tell you to do. Pretty much what they're saying. Just do what we're telling you to do. No questions asked. Look, and Jesus, of course, and Jesus entertains them. Okay, so what do you want me to do then? All right, let's see. Hey, we want to be on either side of you in your glory. That's it. We want to be in the spot of glory, the position of glory. Okay. The position of glory. We all want to be in the position of glory, don't we?
Yeah.
We do. I don't know. You get a little older like me, you feel like y'all can have all that glory. Oh, you mom. I just want a peace of mind. I just want rest. You know, I do my thing. You do your thing. We do our thing together. And that's it. That's peace. That's all you want. A lot of that glory stuff doesn't seem important anymore. But James and John, to them, they're young, they're fired up, and they're like, we want the position of glory. We see this going somewhere, and we want to be at the top of the food chain when it happens. This is where they are, and Jesus is so kind and humble to say, what do you want me to do? You know? And of course, they say, hey, we want to be on the left and right side of glory. And Jesus says in verse 38, you don't know what you are asking. But you know, when you're young, you think you know it all. You think you know exactly what you're asking, because you think you know where the train is going. You think you know the way that this ship is sailing. And Jesus is like, you guys, you do not have a clue. You do not know what you're asking. Jesus said, can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Of course, being young, fired, and not having a clue. Yes, we can, they answered. Wow, yes, we can answer. You know, I've taken many leaps in my life without looking first. I've jumped in a lot of things without really investigating or researching it first. I've just made a lot of mistakes. You know, God points out to us in life a lot of things. He gives us resources to research things. He puts us in positions to understand things or situations before we jump into it. But sometimes we allow our hearts to get in the way, and we tend to what? We're just going to go do it and ask questions later. And when we find out, when we get there, it's not as glorious as we thought it was going to be. And it's challenging because when you're there, guess what? You're there. And a lot of times there is no turning back. There is no going back and say, I want to recant what I said. No, no, no. We're here. This is what you asked for. You know, we have a lot of requests and things that we put before God. A lot of things that we want God to do for us. But do we really take the time to consider the things that we're asking God to do? Do we really take the time to consider what we're asking God to do for us? Are we really researching and like, man, what am I asking here? What am I reaching out for? What am I really nagging God for? What am I really wanting to get into here? Basically, it goes back to our studies from the old days. Are we really counting the cost before we put our request before God?
Come on.
Do we do that? Do we count the cost before we put our request before God? Because we need to count the cost. Because once you're there, sometimes it's a heavy, heavy, heavy toll to pay. It just is. It's just heavy to pay. These guys believe that they can drink the cup, yet they don't even know what the cup is filled up with. They don't know what's inside the cup. All they seeing is glory. Look at me. I'm beside Jesus. You're going to praise me. You're going to kneel before me. You're going to be my daughter. This is their viewpoint. This is their thought. But they're not realizing. Jesus is like, you don't have a clue what you're asking. What you think is glory is not the glory that I'm about to bestow or was about to be bestowed upon me. We're on two different pages. Sometimes it's like that with us and God. Sometimes we're on two different pages. We are not on the same page with God when it comes to putting our request in. Over in the Old Testament, God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. But we do believe sometimes that, well, God, your thoughts are my thoughts. You just need to get on board with me. And your ways are my ways, God. You just need, this is the way to go. But I find as you get a little older in life, and I look at a lot of documentaries, that, man, life is just, it's not what you believe it to be if you're thinking outside of God's point of view. If you're thinking outside of God's way of thinking. Life is not what it's supposed to be, or not what you think it's supposed to be. You know, I read this book here. I read a lot of books. It's a book called Slave. It's a good by John MacArthur. It's a good book. And he really just breaks down about our position in God's kingdom, the way it should be, the way God said it should be, versus how we think it should be. These guys had a thought of what they thought being with Jesus should be. And God, Jesus was like, well, hold on. We're on two different pages. And you know, and then if you do the Holman translation, it really does aggravate, you know, slave. When we think of slave, we think of, oh man, we had a bad history, you know, as Americans, European, British, African. We had a bad thing with slave, but that's the way, slave is not meant to be that way. That's not the way God dreamed the way slave would be. You know, and I talked about this last weekend about how you go from a slave, and talk about this in the Bible, to a friend. From a friend, you are a child of God, to co-heirs of the kingdom. This is God's vision of how it works. Yep. You know, and this, we have to grab hold of that. And these guys here were not understanding their position that, guess what? I need to be a slave first. I need to be this servant that I'm called to be. Instead of trying to be, I want to be at the top of the food chain. I just need to be a leader. Forget all this servant work. Let me be at the top and other people serve me. We need to understand. We need to capture God's point of view of what we are to be and where we are to be positioned in God's kingdom and not where we think we should be. We need to capture God's vision. And so he goes on, verse 39, he said, Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. I want to stop right there. You know, if you got friends, you got a party, you got a group, you know, everybody has ambitions. Everybody has dreams. Everybody has, like, I want to be somewhere, I want to go somewhere. You discuss dreams. You discuss your ambitions, your goals with your friends. I want to do this, I want to do that. You're all dreaming and everything. The worst thing that can ever happen in your relationship is that somebody decides to ask something that you wanted to ask all along, but you didn't have the nerve to ask, and they beat you to it. Now you're mad at them. How dare you go ask to be at the right and left hand? How dare you? I wanted to, you knew I wanted to ask to be in that position. They're like, it's not my problem. You didn't ask. I asked. That's not on me. That's you. I'm going to ask. You're going to either get yes or no. It's just how it is, you know. You think like, you're just so wrong. You're not a friend no more, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, these guys were mad. Like, man, we wanted those positions. That's why we're following Jesus. Because we want the position of importance. We want to be at the right or left hand. That's where we want to be. How dare you ask that? But I love Jesus' response to them. He says, well, number one, you will drink the cup that I'm going to drink. He tells that to James and John. Number two, he says, I do not have the authority nor the power to grant you to be at the left or right hand of me. That's up to God. God's already got those positions appointed. But you will suffer. You will drink the cup that I'm going to drink. And they still don't have a clue what he's talking about. They go on further. He says, verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I love how he caps that off. He's pointing out a lesson here to those guys. He said, you know, those Gentiles, you know, they like to be lord over people, you know. They like to be, I'm your boss, I'm your superior. He says, they make that known. But Jesus says, to really be in the most important position of all is you have to be willing to be a slave to everyone.
Yeah.
You've got to have the mind and the heart and the soul that said, I will be a slave to everyone. Meaning, I will serve and meet the needs, and I will pour my life out for everyone that I come across. Especially if I'm trying to win them over to Christ. He says, you got to be a slave. That's the most important position. Given in our culture, right now in America, you say that, oh, no, I ain't been a slave to nobody. It's just how we are. It's just how, particularly in the black culture, they'll be like, oh, no, because their mind is so bent on from what they believe they know what slavery is. You know, but they're not. They're confused. But Jesus says, if you're going to follow me and you want the most important position of them all, you got to be a slave to all. You got to be willing to humble yourself and lend yourself to everybody. I'm going to read something to you out of this book here. You know, when you have a good book, you're like, there's just so many sound bites you can read, but you only need to read a little bit. Don't need to read everything. So, but it says, the New Testament writers repeatedly emphasize Christ's divine authority and equality with God by ascribing the name Kyrios to him. Kyrios is translated as master. For the believers of the early church, the title Kyrios denoted Christ not only as the absolute master, but also as God. When we confess Jesus as Lord, we similarly acknowledge our duty to both obey him as king and worship him as deity. In the same way the Old Testament saints view themselves as the slaves of Yahweh, we are to view ourselves as the slaves of Jesus Christ, as one author has pointed out. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, the Apostle Paul makes an astounding statement. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Certainly, there are many who give lip service to the Lordship of Christ, but who have never experienced the Spirit's life-giving work. Yet to genuinely acknowledge Jesus' Lordship involves both a willingness to obey him as master and an eagerness to worship him as God. And that happens only in a heart transformed by the Spirit of God, which is why true conversion always includes the heartfelt confession that Jesus is Lord. You know, Jesus wanted them guys to understand here, and he wants us to understand here, is that the most important position that you're going to be in requires that you recognize him as Lord, that Jesus is in charge, that God sent him here to be not only our example, but to give us directions and how we should live our lives as disciples, as saints. we have to recognize Jesus' lordship. We have to recognize that Jesus is in charge. You know, Jesus told James and John they would drink that cup. You know, later times, James was beheaded. He got that, he got that cup he wanted. And if you know the story of John, John was exiled where? To the island of Patmos, where he lived the rest of his life. They got that cup. You know, a lot of times in church, in the kingdom, just as a disciple, we have ideas and vision of what we believe the position we need to be in for the Lord. But the Lord has a totally different vision, outline of where you're going to be in the position you're going to serve in. Let's not be too anxious to say, I want to be in this position of glory, this position of glory. I'll drink this cup and that cup. But instead, let's be eager to be slave of all. Let's be like Jesus. Let's not look to be in a position where people need to come and serve me. Hey, I'm your leader. I'm your Bible talk leader. I'm your zonely. I'm your family group. I'm your house leader. I'm your pastor. I'm your evangelist. I'm your other. Let's not look to be in no position, but instead let's look to be, you know what? I want to be in the position of a servant. I'm here to be like Jesus. I came to serve. I'm not looking to be raised up in any position. If it happens, amen, glory be to God. But that would not be my mindset. I'm in church to climb to the task position I can climb to. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. He wants you to be committed to the body, to the kingdom, with an attitude that I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. I'm a slave to all who needs to be served. Let that be our heart. Let that be our mind. Let that be in ourselves. Thank you guys so much. I'm going to pray for